Hi, Mike.
And you're joining us once again for
All Yesterday's Pilates. I still did it wrong. It's the second take and I still did it wrong.
Oh,
I love it.
You join us in King Street Studios in Newcastle-under-Lyme, which is a very pleasing place to record.
It is. It's got a window and some blackboards, some blue shit on the walls. It's fantastic.
Sound absorbing.
Yes, sound absorbing blue dots. Thank you.
Exactly.
And yes, we're once again here with some guests. Yeah, yes. We've got the Thinking Woman's Crumpet, Matt Tyra.
I'm not even going to touch that. That's fine.
And we've got
name of your sex tape.
Hey.
And also, yeah, no, let's just move on.
And we've also got the Thinking Crumpets, Carl Pilkington. Go on, cocaine. Cocaine.
Yes.
I've always been pronouncing cocaine.
There's no English word.
Like the field of hit of the summer.
C and an H together that doesn't pronounce a ch sound.
Really?
To my knowledge.
I'm fairly certain we could prove that wrong later.
So it was worth me forgetting to turn the microphone off at the first go at this.
Well, I don't think about it. Chant.
No.
That begins with a CH.
Okay. Bachelor.
Okay. Like that's after a T. You're getting your CHs immediately after consonants.
Well, I can't think of any other.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, can you think of any? Lock. There we go.
Yeah, but that's not English.
Oh,
and I specifically said English.
Contentious.
Is it in the OED?
Well, let's put it this way. Actually, my surname isn't an English surname. Shockingly, surprisingly enough, I don't have a suit of arms, coat of arms, one of those shields with like little dragons.
You don't want a suit of arms.
No.
you'll get sent down for that.
Yeah,
where do you get all those arms you're wearing?
You need somewhere to put your legs.
Hey, it's true. You're all
right. Right, so
that's where you get trousers. Of legs, a jacket of arms, a waistcoat of nipples.
Really, legs are just another pair of arms in a different way, aren't they?
Actually, arms are just adapted legs.
I fucking love you.
If you look at the anatomy of a horse's foreleg, essentially, you've got all like the finger bones just below the knee. So it's essentially just trotting along on its middle finger, and the hoof is a fingernail.
You know, the Old Testament says you shouldn't eat hooved. Animal with a
cloven hoof.
Cloven hoof.
Yes.
It doesn't say anything about humans.
It says, thou shalt not kill.
And on that bombshell,
what
beer are you drinking, John?
I'm drinking a beer.
You're drinking a beer, John. Tell us about it.
It's from the Staffordshire Brewery in Leek.
They're local, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard this somewhere before.
Yeah. On the first take, before John realised he wasn't recording.
I blame the beer.
Are you recording now?
Yes.
Oh. We're not doing this here.
Why are you putting your hand up?
Because it means you're recording.
Oh.
I'm drinking the black grouse stout.
But aren't you a vegetarian, John?
It's a smooth...
A whole grouse stuffed into every bottle.
It's a smooth stout with rich chocolate undertones.
And a little foot sticking out the top. It's really quite sad.
Oh,
it's a bit like a straw.
Name of your sex tape.
Too obvious.
Oh, so, Matt and Gordon, I believe you're on Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
We are.
How is it?
Gordon, tasting notes.
You get 20 cents refund if you fly to Europe and hand it in.
Okay, but...
Top tip for you, ladies at home.
Just in case you're not satisfied with your double chocolate stout.
Tasting notes.
Yes. Well, I'm actually a bit tipsy now after...
Describe how the beer tastes.
It's all right.
How does it compare to the other two? Because Boondoggle was okay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the Adnams Southwold Bitter was slightly less okay.
It starts off kind of unkind to your mouth, but then it feels a bit friendlier as it progresses around your cheeks.
Name your sex tape!
Yeah.
I can tell we're getting slightly tipsy. Because we promised not to overuse that gag.
It's true, but I enjoyed that one. Who wouldn't watch a sex scene with that long a title?
I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's not even room for a picture on the case.
It's just words. It's a text-based... A verbosely text-based porn adventure.
It's an Infocom sexed adventure.
Right, so Mike, what are you drinking?
I'm
for fuck's sake.
For fuck's sake.
He's on the vodka.
Oh, I'm just drinking my own tears at this point. I'm drinking Sleeping Lemons by the Wild Bear Company, which is a goes, which is a style of beer I've never drunk before. It's basically a salted beer.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and it's something they used to do in Germany back in day.
Back in day.
And it's a very, very pleasant beer. It's very tart, mm-hmm. very sharp, very refreshing, slightly salty.
Yeah.
So just because I'd had a gingerbread ale followed by a chocolate marble stout, I needed something light that was just going to lift my palate. Nice. And this is doing that expertly.
Proper job.
Gorgeous.
Like a cidery lemonade.
Like a cidery lemonade, yeah. Like, you know, it's lovely.
Very nice.
And it's quite light on the old ABV as well. It's only 3.4, 3.6.
Yeah. So it's just not.
It's just slightly stronger than your pancake beer you had earlier.
Yes.
Can I ask an alcohol question? Why do people drink low percentage alcohol?
For the flavour.
But why not have it without the alcohol?
Because the brewing process adds complexity to the flavour.
Yeah. So it's more of a fun drink as opposed to a
getting smashed.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. But also some beers are just high. If you're getting like an imperial or like a double IPA, that's got its own style of flavour. It's got its own intensity, its own flavour profile, but it's always going to be a high ABV.
And then you can get up into things like barley wine and that sort of thing.
And your Belgian triples and quads, yeah. things like that, which are very strong.
A few weeks ago, I had a beer from the Brewdog Brewery when we recorded our Kanye West episode.
Yes, Christ.
And it was a 10%
Imperial Stout.
Coco Psycho.
Yeah.
And it was like tar.
Yeah.
I think I've had that. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
But it is like tart.
I've had better Imperials, but it's still nice.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway. So there you go. That's why sometimes people drink the lighter beers, because this is just a very fruity and light beverage. Whereas sometimes the more
alcohol.
Alcohol free. Some of them are nice. It works well with lagers and pilsners. They tend to have quite a light flavour profile anyway.
There's quite a nice non-alcoholic wheat beer around as well,
which also can have quite a
very light palate.
But you're never going to get a decent alcohol-free IPA, because just by the very nature of them, they need that brewing process, that maturing. It's just going to make it fucking alcoholic.
So I feel I've learned today, and I hope that your listeners have learned.
I hope so.
And I hope they're responsible when drinking.
I hope they're very responsible. I certainly hope they're not.
I hope they're all twatted right now. That's the only way they're going to enjoy the bullshit that's going to follow.
Right.
John, hit the sting.
How is your one listener?
Gary,
is he all right?
He's fine. Last I heard, Gary. Yeah. Hi, Gary.
Just been.
I'm waving.
He's just been to America.
Has he? Hasn't he? Yeah. Well, I hope he's come back to plenty of episodes for him to listen to when he's come home.
I hope so. Too.
And I hope he's interested in learning about Princess Nokia.
No.
Who is the first act that we're going to be talking about now? Who's going to be appearing at that Safest Milk Festival in the 2017 in Prestatyn Pontins that they have these days
behind the bins.
But yeah, Princess Nokia. I'm just bringing up her entry.
Oh.
What the fuck was that? Did you just bring it up?
He was bringing it up. It wasn't funny. We all just sat there in silence.
I was just
and then followed by incredulity.
I was just slightly terrified because I was busy looking at the.
I hope I've brought a moment of alarm for our listeners.
Definitely, you brought it to me, son.
Nice.
Jesus Christ. Nice. Right, hearing Tomboy by Princess Nokia for the first time stopped us dead in our tracks. And we're still there to this day. The end.
We had an office built around us and the internet brought to us.
Such a compelling blast of righteousness. Its inflamed voice. You get a cream for that, love. Its inflamed voice demanding who the hell you are.
She used some Difflam.
Demanding who the hell you are to be deciding what a strong woman with a mind of her own should be presenting herself like. That's quite a badly written sentence.
this is the trouble I was having.
Should I put the light on?
Put big light on, Gordon. I'm just going to talk about it otherwise. Princess Nokia is known to her mum.
Ah!
That wasn't the end of the sentence. Princess Nokia is known to her mum as Destiny Frasqueri.
Fruscary.
Fruscary.
We're going to continue with the mispronouncing everything until you're sick of it, we're sick of it, but we're still going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it.
That's all we're going to do for the whole festival weekend. I know I've said that before, but I'm really meaning it this time.
You really, I can tell it by your face. She identifies as Afro-New Yorican and is already... New Yorican.
N-U-Y-O-R-I-C-A-N
spelling. And is already a veteran of NY's underground hip-hop scene at the age of 24. And Matt has left the room. He's taking a phone call there.
Yes.
But so there we go. That is what that's the thing about Princess Nokia or Princess Nokia.
Her pronunciation is
slightly different. I think that is just the kind of a Atlantic divide thing there, isn't it?
I thought they had a different type of phone.
Matt's back. Matt has re-entered the room. But yeah, who's going to start us talking about Princess Nokia?
I believe it's my turn.
Bleeding John.
Bleeding John.
Bleeding John.
I'll get the cups.
It was fun. There isn't a great deal of material that I was able to find.
Mm. What did you listen to?
Well, what I listened to, there is the Tomboy single, which is on Spotify. And there is also, there's a couple of tracks that feature her.
Am I the only person who googled her and found out that her entire 1992 album is a free download?
1992?
The album's called 1992.
It's about what happened in 1997.
But it was recorded in 2015.
Was that
the We're making this up now.
It's released on the label 2006.
Yeah. Which was formed in BC.
I want you to repeat that back to us.
Some stuff happened once.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. I didn't find a great deal of material. I did not know about that.
Yes, there is an entire album out there that's a free download.
Right, okay.
There we go.
Knowledge. But really good. I haven't got a massive amount to say, to be fair.
That's fair enough, then.
Really enjoyed it. I would be interested to see the show. I know that's been almost my mantra for an awful lot of stuff.
But it's a fair comment on pretty much everything, really.
Yeah. Again, not something that would drop into the pigeonhole of things I regularly listen to. Mm. But I think she's pretty funny. I think there is some wit to what she's doing, and massive amount of skill and talent, and I bet her show will be great.
I'm fairly certain this beer is getting saltier the more I drink it.
Sorry.
It looks like it's gone cloudier and cloudier.
It's a cloudy lemonade now. I think all the salt had sunk to the bottom. Anyway, Matt.
That'll make your eyes water.
I didn't like it very much.
Oh dear.
I can tell it was very good. It didn't move me.
No.
I can't do anything about that. Of course I'll go along and see it.
Mm.
As long as it doesn't clash with something I'd rather see.
Mm.
But that's all I got. I didn't find much. What I listened to, thought, yes, this is well-executed rap that I'm not particularly keen on.
Mm.
Yeah.
I also, having actually listened to the entire content of 1992, the album by Princess Nokia, before you get your smart arsery in there, Mr. Tyra, with his suit and tie.
I'm not wearing a suit and tie.
Shut up. I listened.
I just can't.
Yeah, I know. I listened to that album by the number that I've already mentioned. And it was very energetic. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was very engaging.
Hmm.
Nothing that was especially eye-poppingly original. I found that actually I liked her more than I liked the music. Because I liked her spirit. I liked her energy.
Yeah.
I liked her. She's very body positive. She's very positive about her kind of a cultural upbringing. There's one track called Bruca, which is very much about, you know, her and her culture,
yeah,
which is brilliant, really great track. And Tomboy as well is a cracking little tune.
Yeah.
Also, she's a bit of a nerd.
Yeah.
Because there's one track called Katana, which at first I thought was about maybe relating to the sword, is actually relating to the character from Mortal Kombat.
Ah.
And that's a cracking little tune as well. So I like her. I've got a lot of time for her.
Yeah.
And so, based on that, I think I want to see her perform, based on my opinion of her more than my opinion of her music, and which is good.
Yeah.
It's a good hip hop, a little bit poppy. Fun,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Not. It didn't give me any kind of lasting satisfaction.
It's like the more positive version of what I was trying to get across.
Broadly speaking, yes.
And another rapper that can rap better than Kanye West.
Of which there's a very, very long list. To be fair, Gordon, what think of you of the Princess?
Well, I was expecting something very, very different. So
yeah.
I was very surprised when I heard what I did. I was thinking,
what were you expecting?
I took it literally as a Nokia phone, as in one of the first phones I ever had, as in beepy, bippy, snaky type. You know, you can only hold five text messages.
So we're expecting kind of a lo-fi, kind of 8-bit chip tune kind of deal.
Like as like chipsy sort of thing.
Mm, but maybe a bit more hip-hoppy.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Andrew Kuhn.
Or something, someone dressed as a princess holding a Nokia phone. You know, quite literal.
That's very, very literal.
So when I actually, the first,
I hate to saying it, but I would watch that. Just someone in a princess outfit holding a phone, looking at it bored.
Yeah,
it's a performance art piece.
Yeah.
Like stage three,
like cancelled.
Thanks, Barry.
So you can't even blame Barry these days.
I found it quite difficult to find a humongous amount of material, and
apart from my entire album is there for download.
I'm
not going to rub that in.
The album of which year I can't quite remember.
1994.
What I heard is almost like it reminded me of a more grimier version of Peaches, in some respects, but more.
It's nowhere near as dirty as Peaches.
No. But that kind of.
The sound,
play.
The sound more than the content.
Yeah, it was interesting. I like
it's got more of a clean kind of poppy sound to me, you know. But.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking. Do you remember the first Peaches album? I think
my knowledge of Peaches.
Saying that, I think it was called Thinking Triple X, but nonetheless.
Aim of no.
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 So not. I know the piece just went off on a completely different thing that I wasn't so keen on. Anyway, it was okay. I like her style of rap / rhyme / grime. I think it's fun.
Mm.
I'd definitely go and check it out.
I think fun is the watchword here.
Mm,
yes. And although I don't think any one of us has been particularly blown away, having some fun acts on the bill
is very
important. And I welcome her inclusion on the bill because there's an awful lot of very, very dense, involved stuff on that bill. So someone like Princess Nokia is essential for this bill.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she's there.
I kind of feel I need to temper my negativity slightly and say I'm more than happy to look for Six or whatever it's called, 1992,
mm-hmm.
and listen to it,
yeah.
Because whilst the track I heard didn't move me, it wasn't enough to make me say I would not listen to anything else by this artist.
So
I just didn't particularly care for Tomboy.
So it's not like Brain Bombs, then. Which I understand you. I mean, I know we were fairly negative on them, and you didn't particularly like them either.
They did nothing for me. I probably will cook dinner when Brain Bombs are playing.
That's fair enough.
It doesn't matter what time they're playing.
Doesn't matter. I will get started
the
on the next day's breakfast.
Fucking cooking dinner.
So
we're back in.
Yeah,
we're back in for the residents. And we do believe are a the, aren't they?
They right? are.
Yes, they are a the residents. Not
they
yet.
Are. They are named for.
I know this, but I want you to tell
the
me.
The fact that they received when they were living together, like right when they started in the early 60s, I want to say, they received a letter, and they were trying to decide on what their band name was, but they received a letter addressed to The Residents, and
that made their mind up.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
It's a great little story. I love it.
That's wonderful.
What's your t-shirt?
My t-shirt, my t-shirt.
Oh, Cloud.
Cloud, yeah. It's basically
Cloud. It's Final Fantasy
VII. It's Final Fantasy VII, yeah. Exactly that. And I noticed you're wearing a Rodrigo y Gabriela t-shirt, which...
Sydney tour.
Oh, nice. Were you there for the Sydney tour?
I was at Royal Opera House.
Oh, nice.
But not specifically Sydney, Rodrigo and Gabriela. It was a happy coincidence. And they invited us onto stage as well.
Do you remember that time I was wearing a t-shirt that I quite liked the logo on, and it turned out to be an Avril Lavigne tour?
I remember that vividly.
Is this going to be one of those bits?
Would you like to read out the piece for the resident?
From the small city of Shreveport, Louisiana, emerged the monolithic advent... No idea.
Not as easy as it looks, is it, son?
From the small city of Shreveport, Louisiana, emerged the monolithic avant-garde music and multimedia institution that is the Residents. Famed for their pranksterism and relentless anonymity... give or take. The Residents bounce between caustic dissections, deconstructions of popular culture, and complex conceptual creations, citing everyone and everything from Hitler to the Beatles, and all points in... That's just their first album.
Yeah.
That was Third Rock and Roll.
Third Rock and Roll, yeah.
And Meet the Resident, first two albums.
Yeah.
While the Residents feast on, yet are in awe of popular culture, they love to toy with it. Their initial influences were Harry Parch, Beefheart, and Sun Ra. They're no strangers to controversy either. The cover of their debut, Meet the Residents, immediately led to legal threats from Capitol over its Dada-esque mangling of the Meet the Beatles cover.
Yeah, it basically was the Meet the Beatles cover, but yeah, with a load of shit drawn on it.
Yeah. While Third Reich and Roll, a set of popular oldies, features Hitler holding a big carrot.
I think that gives us enough flavour, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, the only other bit in this is about their anonymity, which... I can stop reading any time.
Yes. Do I stop reading it now?
Okay.
Amazing.
Get all the stuff about anonymity.
Gordon, Residents, the so
my
comment.
My first introduction to the Residents was at some form of gathering in which Matt was wearing a giant eye and hat.
Yeah.
And... I questioned.
I've seen that photo of you dressed as a resident.
Now, there were a couple of things that kind of made me question what was going on.
was one thing the eye and the other thing the hat?
Well, I hadn't realised that the gathering that I'd been invited to was a hat on head party.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, actually, it was a specified hat on head.
It was a silly hat.
Silly headwear.
Yes. And
it was. Yeah, it was Sophie, my other half's birthday last year.
That's it. And I haven't come equipped with anything. So I had to be given a hat. But because it wasn't specified it had to be worn on your head, I didn't wear it on my head.
Where did you wear it, Gordon?
On my wrist. Because it's one of those...
Genuine sigh of relief.
It's one of those with a little band and a pointy thing. And it kind of like think about it. Was it a Dunces? A kind of glittery Dunces.
No, it was a party hat.
You're talking your standard issue pointy cone
and
party hat.
Not party hats, Dunces caps in a kind of smaller version.
Yes.
Hmm.
Which is parties of
the
suckers.
A party hat kind of guy.
I feel like you're getting to kind of meta point here.
That was my first introduction to the Resident. And... I listened to some of it, and
good.
It was really strange.
Yes.
In a good way.
Yeah.
And
I feel like this is a sentiment that's going to be echoed throughout most of our commentary.
I might not.
And once again, I have to admit, I've decided to purposefully not watch or listen to too much, so that I can just see what happens.
Hmm. I also, my experience of the Residents is also a link to Matt, because when I found out they were announced, it was a name that I knew. I knew what they were. I knew what their deal was with their eyes and all of that. In fact, I'd seen the photo of Matt dressed as a resident and immediately knew what he was supposed to be. So I knew of them, but I didn't really know anything by them. So I asked Matt for some recommendations, and you recommended
the commercial album.
Yeah, and that was the one that I got.
Yeah.
And also Duck Stab.
Yeah.
That was one that I didn't get.
No.
Instead, I got Eskimo because I found that cheap.
Oh, God, really?
Yes.
Oh, how fun was that?
Very. Especially because I listened to it whilst walking home in the dark. Are you sensing your theme, listeners at home? That's what I like to do. I like to listen to weird, terrifying shit walking home in the dark. The commercial album was actually quite accessible.
It's really good, isn't it?
It's great fun because it's like 40, there's about 40 tracks, I think.
There are 40
tracks. And each one is slightly over a minute long. And so if you get a weird idea that is a bit kind of weird off, don't worry, because the next track's going to be something completely different.
It's like the complete opposite of Horse Laws, where they have a really good idea and then drag it out.
And there are some ideas you wish they would stretch out a bit longer make a full-length song out of, but that's not the point of the album. It's all like a minute.
They range between 1 minute and 2 seconds and 1 minute and 5 seconds.
Yeah, so there's no one track that is a minute long. They're all just slightly over a minute long.
But the range of actual lengths, they are pretty consistent. Pretty tight. It's incredible.
Mm. But I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that album. And if that's the kind of wayward creativity that they're going to bring to the stage, then I'm all the way up for it. Eskimo was just weird. Really imposing and strange. And I also liked that. Mm. It's definitely more long form than commercial album. Yeah. I mean, it'd be hard to be any more short form than the commercial album that's still being worthwhile listening to. But Eskimo is definitely much more of a... It feels like one long piece split up into movements. And there's a lot of strange sounds, a lot of chanting, and a lot of just weird shit going on. But I really, really enjoyed it. Whether or not they do something more like the commercial album, whether they're doing a lot of like short, sharp things, or if they do more of a long form piece, I'm definitely going to be in for watching them without a doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. So, hang on, go on.
I've just saw the word machine, CH.
Fucking hell! Thanks for that, Gordon.
Yep, you're welcome.
The little link back to.
There's no T in there.
It's machine.
Yep. Okay, you may continue.
Actually, I was going to suggest skipping straight over to John, because I have additional context that I think would be better coming at the end rather than...
You have actually seen them live.
I've seen them live, and they're fantastic, but I can add a bit more to that, especially in the run-up to it.
So John, as a fellow resident virgin...
Well, it's funny as well, because like Gordon and Mike... my experience of the residence has actually come from Matt.
Were you also at the party where the
I like to use the word lynchpin to describe myself.
Yeah, I thought you did.
So over the last few years, I've listened to odds and ends from the residence of when like we've been going.
Nice use of the earth there. I enjoyed that. You delivered it with chutzpah.
Thank you very much. Oh, I've missed that word. So there's been an occasional bit of the residence just sort of popping into my aural landscape.
I also like the way you pronounce aural.
Yes.
To make sure it doesn't sound anything like oral.
Yes. I'm very careful about that.
Entirely different things pop up in your aural. But not meat anymore.
All of it bollocks.
fucking hell.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
where the fish is shooting themselves.
Yes.
Where were you with that thought? I'm just talking on the word, Gordon.
You were talking about me.
So the album I listened to in the run-up to this was Shadowland.
Ooh.
Which is, it appears to be a live album.
It is.
It is introduced as the third part of a trilogy.
Context.
Oof.
So, having not listened to the previous two parts of the trilogy, having been familiarised to an extent with some of the Residents' earlier work, it very much fitted into what I've heard before. So, it was a good listen.
I don't quite know what to add because it's just got this wonderfully surreal nature, but with a really interesting structure and a really interesting vocal.
I almost feel like the three of us are kind of building up to Matt's contribution. As a person who has actually seen this act,
yeah,
doing
yeah.
what they do, and this context he keeps talking
so
about.
The Residents are a band that have kind of changed what they do from period to period through their career.
They've been going so long.
I mean,
you're hard not to.
You've listened to the commercial album, you've listened to Duckstep. Eskimo.
Duckstep.
They're both quite early.
Yeah.
And they have a very different feel to some of the stuff they were doing in sort of the 90s and early 2000s, where they were doing more band-orientated stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a really good album called The Bunny Boy, which was released alongside a series of videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this kind of, again, this multimedia thing that they do, and it generated a very different kind of stage performances to what they'd done in the past, which were much more choreographed performance art pieces. When I saw The Residents, it was at the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival that was curated by Matt Groening, who I believe is president of their US fan club, if I'm not remembering that incorrectly, or at least he's got something to do with their US fan club.
Yeah.
It was the first part of what you've listened to as the third part. We are probably going to see the third part of this.
Okay.
So the first part was the talking light.
Right.
And that's what I saw. And essentially the performance had two of the residents off at either side, wearing red sequined tailcoats, night vision goggles, full black body stockings, and had like these kind of spidery plastic dreadlocks coming out of... They looked quite terrifying off at one side with all the instruments.
Mm.
And the vocalist,
looking quite terrifying,
who
is there,
announced his name as being Brandy, it's definitely not... We can have a pretty good educated guess at who the lead singer of The Residents is, but I'm not going to do it here because, you know, how they get about these kinds of things, about their anonymity. But just look at the ears. So Randy, Chuck and Bob played a fantastic set, but essentially Randy was wearing a creepy bald wig with an extended nose, big sort of kipper tie, dressing gown, slippers, big oversized boxer shorts, stumbling around a stage set that looked like somebody's living room. But every now and again they had kind of this circular, I don't know why I'm doing it with my hands, they had this circular screen where every now and again something would be projected on, and you'd quite often have conversations with it.
Right.
So it was a lot of the resident songs often reimagined and repurposed. So Constantinople off Duckstab sounded totally different.
Yeah.
And again, mixed in with some covers as well, like done in their inimitable style. And it was just a really engaging, weird, funny, creepy stage show. And actually, Shadowland is probably a good representation of what we'll actually hear on the day.
Mm.
So whether you want to listen to that or avoid that...
Yeah.
And instead, you know, they played, as I said, they played Constantinople, they played some of the stuff with the Bunny Boy, like Boxes Full of Armageddon. At least I think they did. It was certainly on the Talking Light record.
So they reworked a lot of their early stuff
to fit in with the stage aesthetic.
Right.
So actually, the Talking Light record would be probably a good place. I mean, the pictures I've seen of Shadowland, the Chuck and Bob, who've been off to the sides, have now got skulls and white dreadlocks coming off and like checkered suits or something like that, and Randy is now in like a muscle suit, like a
looking at a picture of Matt is describing,
like,
now
you know
Attack on Titan.
Attack
on
yeah,
Titan, yeah.
That's the one, that
the,
kind
the,
of muscle
the
suit
titans.
Yeah, but then with his creepy bald cap and hair.
Okay.
Over the top of it.
So we're talking really weird.
We're talking what will be a very engaging hour of performance.
Yeah,
what they play is almost kind of secondary, because even if you've heard it before,
You'd be hearing it differently.
Yeah.
So, that's
where are they from?
They're from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Like the vampires.
Okay.
If you read or watch True Blood.
But given that their identities are not quite entirely 100% secret, who knows?
Yeah, the whole anonymity thing was a thing for a while. But
still is?
Yeah.
Perhaps still is.
But
they're still keeping it going.
Yeah, even if no one else is.
Yeah.
I think I think at that point, after Matt gave us quite a nice little rundown, I think you've hit the sting.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about Michael Rother. Rother in the house. And I think, really, one of the most important points we made about Michael Rother is he used to be in Noi.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was it the other guy from there?
He started off in Carpenter.
Yeah.
But
good, I didn't imagine that.
Yeah. Harmonia.
We did that episode.
Harmonia, but...
He was in Harmonia.
But
we did that episode about Noi.
But that was what I was going to lead on to, because there was one album swap episode that we did a little way back, where I made John listen to the first Noi album.
And I listened to the wrong stuff.
Yes, you listened to everything else by Noi, apart from the first Noi album.
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, if you're going to do it wrong, go all in.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that was pretty special. So I almost feel like there's not much point giving any kind of bio from the Takers Milk site, because it was annoying. Yeah, he's a krautrock legend.
Yeah.
And so let's just lead off with any opinions people have. I also almost feel that there's not much point in me giving my opinion, because I've already given it at length in an episode. I fucking love Noi.
I'm going to massively enjoy it, and I'm definitely going to see him, so that's my opinion.
I echo that. Crab Rock is great.
I listened to... What did I listen to? Remember. Brackets, The Great Adventure. Sorry.
You forgot that you listened to Remember.
How ironic!
I listened to Remember, The Great Adventure, and it was a really nice piece of work. I actually found it quite an emotional little piece. So it's a lot of the pieces that are on that album are really nice, quite moving little pieces of music. Mm. And after having listened to everything that we've listened to up to this point, kind of Hieroglyphic Being, Horse Lords, More Mother, Nurse with Wound, not so much OOIO, but Residents and Prisoners, Nokia, this was quite gentle and uplifting. And
that's an unusual set of words to be added to a group that involves the Residents.
not including the Residents. Like I say, as soon as I got to Michael Rother, it was very gentle and it was very uplifting. Mm. And it was really, really needed, considering everything I'd listened to up to that point had either been quite challenging or quite aggressive.
It's a great thing about Michael Rother's style, that it's been consistent through most of the things he's worked in. I mean, there will occasionally be challenging stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Noi album has Negative Land, which kind of starts off with... almost a precursor to Anstoters and the Neubarton, with the kind of just like a drill sound at the start.
Yeah.
But then it works into a groove. And apparently he's going to be playing a lot of the stuff that he used to do.
Yeah.
So it's almost going to be like a greatest hits package of krautrock.
Yeah.
Which...
I have not seen him on two occasions.
Brilliant. Maybe you will see him.
I really hope so.
So that would be nice.
He clashed with Dinner.
Is that a band?
No, that's Dinner. I have certain priorities at festivals.
Yeah, just checking.
I have mentioned food quite often already.
Yeah.
I can't emphasise it enough.
It was a welcome... what I listened.
Respite?
Yeah, it was a welcome comma in a sentence full of very punishing...
Well, it's... I just said that's a load of profanity then, comma, however. I always feel like we could just kind of spin to the end there, because Michael Rother, great legend. Yeah, there we go. So So in that case, we've got Sean Spicer licking the doorknobs, shouting obscenities at you.
Through Steve Bannon wiping his bollocks on your window.
Yes. Oh God.
And inside the chalet is a beautiful Labrador that just wants to be your friend.
Oh. Is he wearing a hat?
Yes.
Is he wearing a little pointy dunce hat?
Has he
covered in sparkles?
Has he got a bubble pipe?
No.
Oh, I'm not interested.
So you've got lovely friendly Labrador making little puppy eyes at you, wanting a little tip under the chin. Yeah, maybe smoking a bubble pipe, John, but probably not. And then you've got the various American fascists and their genitals outside your door.
Each of these bands has got a tennis ball for the Labrador. But you can only go and see one of them. Look, I'm invested in this Labrador.
You've got all invested in. So whose tennis ball are you going to fetch
each of these bands are willing to ask the question, who's a good boy?
John, who's it going to be?
It's going to be, I think, Michael Mother.
Ooh, okay, cool. Matt.
Residence.
Gordon. Yeah. You can only have one!
There can only be one.
There can only be one.
It's a Highlander situation here.
Which band are you going to cavitate before that?
You're in Michael Rodgers.
Has to be, yeah.
I don't think I've been more torn between two actors. Princess Nokia, lovely. Yeah, right. I'm probably going to check her out at some point. In this situation where there's three of them, all playing at the same time, all holding out a tennis ball and say, who's a good boy?
It's a Labrador.
Residence. It's going to be the Residence. There you go.
Missed the high five.
Perfect. That's crushing for me because Michael Rother, I really hope he doesn't clash with someone incredibly awesome because I really want to see him because of how much I love Noi, but the Residents look mental as fuck.
They do.
And I really have to see what they do on stage. I have to.
Yeah. So I've not seen a live performance like the Residents. Full stop.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gents. If you've enjoyed what you've heard,
then you're a mental. Who would enjoy this?
Don't be mean to Gary.
Oh, sorry, Gary.
Right. So follow us on Twitter. We're at AYP Podcast. That is also where you'll find us on Tumblr. And
we're also all yesterday's parties on Facebook.
Yeah. So check us out. Thank you for listening. And we all hope you tune in.
We'll hope the next episode makes more sense. Which it won't. Huzzah.
So thank you for King Street Studios for hosting us. And we'll see you next time. Yay.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Yesterday's Parties.
The music is by Attack of the Vapors.
The Vapors.
And the podcast is hosted
by
Audioboom.
And that's reason enough for me to check them out, despite anything.
So there's some bookmarks and various other paraphernalia after the show.
Bookmarks. Yes.
Things that you can merchandise.
Yeah, there's a whole merchandise stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There's actually going to be even more merch then.
Well, what I'm saying is,
have a look on the Safe and Milk website, mate. There's loads of information.